All right, back on the Young Turks. Let us all enjoy and bask in the presence of Anna Kasparian while we have her, because tomorrow is the day when women are not showing up to work.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Let me be clear, though. It's a day where extremely privileged women have the ability to go out there and miss a day of work and protest and kind of show this country what it's like to have a day without women. Did you know that 2/3 of minimum wage earners in the United States are women?
I did not know.
So a lot of women, whether they're, you know, employed in paid labor or unpaid labor as homemakers, will not have the ability to do it. And I just want to really give them some recognition because, again, I do come from a privileged position. You're not going to fire me because I'm going to voice my political opinion tomorrow.
I give you privilege.
But we do obviously strike and march for them as well. So,
yes, it's not just Anna. We're going to be missing, pretty much all of our daily producers. Okay, so Irina, our executive producer, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow. Jen Roofer, who is the daily producer who makes so much of the show happen, the editors, etc. Great idea. Way to go, libs.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I've had several panicked male people who work here come up and go, should we kind of cancel the show? I mean, it's really hard to do it without the women.
Yeah, you should cancel the show.
Yeah, not going to do it.
Unbearable.
No. I'll tell you real quick, guys. The reason we don't cancel the show is because, look, if we were Google, we'd make a bigger statement by turning off Google, and that would be a giant statement. But let's keep it real. We're not Google. And so I think we would have a bigger impact by actually covering it and covering the news that comes out of it than to just not do the show. Mm-hmm. We got to give a voice. That's our job. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyways, Anna will be at the protest tomorrow. So check that out in LA. Okay. Dropkick Kimmy, somewhat unfortunate Twitter handle, says, so did Samsung or any of these smart TV companies know this was happening? Now, we don't know if they knew the CIA was listening in on their smart TVs. We do know that they knew it was possible, that it could get intercepted by a third party.
How many videos do the CIA have, or intelligence communities, organizations have, of people masturbating? Probably a lot.
It must be endless.
Oh, it's so embarrassing.
It's what the Camp of the Saints.
It's natural.
Yeah, the Camp of the Saints described as a river of sperm. That's Anna's favorite book. Anyway, no. By the way, Anna, that's such a great point. I'll tell you right now, I'll make a prediction. That is how one of the things they will do to their political opponents. They will start leaking videos of guys, not women, because they'd be like, women masturbating, that's kind of hot, whatever, nobody cares, it's not embarrassing. Okay, but of guys masturbating. And then they'll go like, basically like, ha ha, every guy does it, but then they'll get to shame people. By the way, I know that not because I'm particularly clever, it's because it's partly what Putin and Erdogan do. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. capture you having sex, doing anything sexual, and if you're super boring and you don't have any kind of wrong sex, then they catch you masturbating, right? And just go, ha ha.
Speaking of which, I love how my mind immediately went to masturbating instead of sex. Like, plenty of people have sex in the privacy of their own home, but I guess, yeah, you're right.
No, you know why? Because it's about TVs and phones and stuff, where you look at images, where you look at videos.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're going to do that AFAP.
Look at this guy.
Come on, that was pretty clever. Anyways.
It was good.
All right, I want to thank Robin from New York, $27 towards journalism. Thank you, Robin. We're going to expose all this stuff. We're going to try to catch up to WikiLeaks. They have their own way. We have our own ways. And keep the government accountable. $50 from Susan in California. So that's all at tytnetwork.com/go to contribute. And then you could be proud of the work of the journalists forever. And I think that they've done some terrific work so far. And we get a lot more where that came from.
Yes.
All right, what's up?
All right. So Jen covered a little bit of the Obamacare replacement in hour one, but there are other components that I want to cover here in hour two. So let's get started with that. The GOP Obamacare replacement would do one thing, and it's a huge glaring difference between the current healthcare system that we have now and the system that they would want. It would essentially defund Planned Parenthood by preventing Medicaid reimbursements from going to these clinics. Now, that's a huge portion of how Planned Parenthood is funded. And keep in mind that this is government money, taxpayer money, that is already forbidden from being used toward abortion services. The Medicaid reimbursements that Planned Parenthood gets can only be used for other medical services that they provide, preventative screenings and things like that. Now, under this Republican plan, it would bar Planned Parenthood from receiving hundreds of millions of dollars in federal Medicaid reimbursements, the majority of the organization's federal funding. Low-income women will be hit especially hard, but it's important to mention that Planned Parenthood patients may be affected if clinics are forced to close as a result of budget cuts. So understand, usually it's low-income individuals who receive Medicaid, so it would initially impact them if they're relying on Planned Parenthood for preventative care. But Planned Parenthood would lose so much funding that it would essentially shut down Planned Parenthood in the long run, affecting anyone who relies on Planned Parenthood.
This is the Acorn strategy. So what they did to Acorn was, it was a group that helped poor people with legal help, employment help, and voting. So they didn't like the giant multinational corporations who are donors to the Republican Party, didn't like poor people helped with legal and employment issues and fighting for higher wages, and they definitely didn't like them voting. So they targeted Acorn, and Acorn's budget was not entirely from the government, but it had received some government help to be able to help those who were in need. Once they took the government funding away, it was still a big enough percentage of their budget that the whole thing went under. Mm-hmm. So they went bankrupt, and now those people are not getting the help at all. And of course, the incredibly rich donors think, great and complete victory. So that's what they'd like to do to Planned Parenthood next.
That's right. And so the Planned Parenthood Medicaid component of this legislation, I think, is the most destructive. But tearing down Planned Parenthood includes a three-pronged approach. So there's the Medicaid part of it, and then there's also how Republicans want to get in between you and your private insurer. So let's get to that part. So this proposal threatens to dismantle the entire private insurance market for abortion coverage, not just public funding for abortion providers. If a woman wants a health insurance plan that will cover abortion, she and possibly her employer won't be able to use tax credits to buy it under this bill. Now remember, people already get tax credits in order to afford healthcare, and under this Republican plan, it would rely solely on tax credits to help those with lower incomes to afford health insurance. But those tax credits could not be used for private insurance if that private insurance covers abortion services. It's insane. So that's the second part of what they plan on doing to dismantle Planned Parenthood.
Well, look, if you are getting regular insurance and your employer doesn't provide it, or you don't normally get it because they need the tax credits to be able to make it work, are you going to think ahead? I don't know that I would. I'm not sure how many people would. Hey, let me read through all this. Oh, it doesn't cover abortion because of this new law. Mm-hmm. So I have to go find another insurance to cover just abortion, mm-hmm, or another kind of insurance that also covers abortion. It might be more expensive. I have to do a lot more research. I have to know that ahead of time just in case I get pregnant and it was, hey, maybe I get raped, or maybe it's the baby's not healthy, but not
maybe
healthy.
Maybe that pregnancy puts my life at risk, right? Republicans
or
are
maybe
always
anything.
Arguing. I know. Look, Republicans are always arguing in terms of what liberals would like with healthcare. That, liberals, they want to get in between you and your doctor. They want to make medical decisions for you. Don't you want to do what you think is best with your own body and your own life? But when it comes to issues like this, right? Republicans love controlling what you can do. They love getting in between you and your doctor or you and your insurance company. What business is it of theirs where you put your money in terms of a private insurance company and what that private insurance company covers? Look, this is a way of ensuring that private insurance companies don't offer any protection or coverage for abortion. Because think about it, if people think that it's too much of a hassle or too expensive to buy private insurance that covers abortion, then people are not going to buy it and insurance companies are not going to cover it. And so that's another way of getting rid of coverage for abortions, okay? That's all it's about. And just quickly going back to the Medicaid thing. Either conservatives just refuse to acknowledge this or they're just really dumb, okay? But here's the reality. Federal money is not allowed to be used toward abortion, okay? Medicaid money, not allowed to be used on abortions. You know why? In 1976, literally decades ago, the Hyde Amendment passed, okay? By a dude, a congressman with the last name Hyde, who by the way, had a extramarital affair and then hypocritically wanted to impeach Bill Clinton for his affair. But nonetheless, he passed the Hyde Amendment. He sponsored it, it passed. It prevents any federal funding from going toward abortion. Okay, unless the woman's life is in danger or she's a victim of incest or rape. So why are they constantly attacking Planned Parenthood? Planned Parenthood doesn't use your precious taxpayer money on abortions. It just doesn't. And again, either you refuse to acknowledge it or you just keep hearing this over and over again and you're too dumb to get it through your mind.
Okay, so when they say Obamacare gets between you and your doctor and they hate that, they mean for guys.
Yeah.
They don't mean for women. For women, that's the central part of their plank is to get between you and your doctor. I'm not, like, you ask a right winger, you ask a Republican, they can't deny it. They would probably happily concede it. Yeah, we don't want you to make decisions with your own body. We are not for choice. We are against choice. They call themselves pro-life. They say, no, if you're impregnated, it's over. You no longer can control your own body. As a representative of the government will step between you and your doctor and prevent your choice. And if you're doing that and you have the right to do that as an American, that frustrates them. Mm-hmm. They need to control your body. They need it. They need it because they're obsessed with big government and they love big government and they want to lord their morality over you. If they did this with anything else, it would be so outrageous if they said, no, we're not going to cover cancer. Mm-hmm. From now on, you're not going to, any plan that covers cancer doesn't get a tax credit. So most of the plans will not cover cancer. So hey, you should have thought ahead and thought, hey, maybe I'll get cancer. And you should have gotten a special rider for it and paid a lot more money. So what? That's your problem, not my problem, all you cancer people. But instead of doing that, they're doing something I would argue is a little worse because they're saying for 51% of the population, for a majority of the population, no, if you're a guy, we're not going to get between you and your doctor, we don't care and you're fine. But if you're a woman, okay, then you gotta go and do all this stuff and it only applies to you and I don't give a damn. No, I do give a damn. I want to control you.
Yeah.
I want to control your body because I love big government and I believe in an authoritarian form of government where the politician's morality, so-called morality, is more important than the citizen's view of their own morality.
So you're right in that this impacts women a great deal. But one thing that I want everyone to take into consideration is that Planned Parenthood is not, you know, an organization that's solely utilized by women. They provide preventative care for men as well. They check for prostate cancer. They do annual physicals. If you are low income, they will do it for free. If you are able to get Medicaid reimbursements, they'll get reimbursed that way. They do cancer screenings. They do tetanus shots. They do vaccines. I mean, there are so many services that poor people rely on and use Planned Parenthood for. And this is going to have such a negative impact on all those people, right? This is an insane statistic that I didn't even know. So in 2015, 78% of people who went to Planned Parenthood were either at or below 150% of the federal poverty line. These are the most disadvantaged individuals who need healthcare and they rely on Planned Parenthood for that. And just because a bunch of conservatives refuse to acknowledge the fact that their taxpayer money doesn't go toward abortion, we're probably gonna dismantle this and we're probably gonna take what little healthcare these individuals have available away from them.
You tell the Republicans that and they're like, oh great, who cares anyway? Poor people, when's the last time a poor person wrote me a campaign check? You know what I'm saying?
How many of these poor people have cell phones? How many of these poor people have refrigerators?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hey, you shouldn't have gotten a refrigerator and you know you should have lived eating out of a dumpster. By the way, Rush Limbaugh once literally said that. Why don't they just eat out of dumpsters? So if you're not a rich Republican donor and you're not a male, ha ha, idiot. You should have never voted for us. As Chaffetz said today about the healthcare bill, hey, actions have consequences. Buyer beware.
So mad. Anyway.
By the way, the Bible is pro-abortion. Read Numbers. Yeah. And also, by the way, if you're a Republican, just say it. Just admit it. You love big government. You love a giant military. You love all those wars we started. You love giving money to defense contractors who waste it more than anyone else. You love getting between us and our doctors. Just say it. What are you ashamed of? Just say it. Just own up to it. You love big government. Okay.
All right. Another component of the GOP health plan focuses on Medicaid and how the government can prevent wasting money on Medicaid, or at least saving money when it comes to Medicaid. Now, apparently 6 pages of the 60-page legislation is devoted to lottery winners and preventing them from abusing the system. 6 pages. So 10% of this legislation is dedicated to lottery winners, because there are a lot of lottery winners running around, you know, trying to take advantage of Medicaid.
Let me begin to break it down, because this makes me so mad. Why mad? I mean, you should be amused, right? Like, how many lottery winners are there in the country? Like 12, 28, whatever. Like, why would you bother even writing this in, let alone devoting 10% of your stupid plan to these 28 lottery winners in the country? The reason I'm mad about it is because they hate poor people, and this is how they view them, right? Yep. They're all welfare queens, they're all bums. And they're all cheats.
They're all cheats. They're all eating lobster dinners with the welfare checks that they're receiving, and they're all driving BMWs. I hear this type of, or this line of reasoning or thinking all the time, and it's so misguided and it's so wrong. But in this case, I mean, think about it. That's what's in their mind floating around, like, oh my God, there's this prevalence of lottery winners taking advantage of Medicaid. We got to do something about it. We have to dedicate 1/10 of our legislation to lottery winners cheating the Medicaid system.
Because it's about demagoguery. They want you to hate poor people. They put that in there on purpose so that they say, oh, you know how they are. They'll get the lottery and they'll cheat on Medicaid anyway. By the way, it's also a great case of projection, because they cheat all the time. They do it as a regular course. They do the tax evasion. They just hide their money in the Cayman Islands. They do all this stuff. Trump, he hasn't paid taxes in 18, 19 years. They cheat all the time, and they cut the IRS so you can't catch the tax cheats. So they assume you'll do it too. But now some of you might be wondering, wait a minute, the lottery winners aren't poor. They're now rich. But you see, not in the view of these rich donors, because the lottery winners are not elites. They're just some poor average schmuck who got lucky. But when Trump or the Koch brothers inherit $200 million, mm-hmm. Trump did $400 million, the Koch brothers did.
They're not lucky.
They didn't get lucky. It wasn't a lottery. We earned your bootstraps. Come on. Hey, man, self-individualism, all that stuff, right? Yeah. So for the elites, if you're living in the middle of Arkansas or Oregon or wherever you might be and you want a lottery, that doesn't count. Oh, yeah, you're probably going to want to cheat on Medicaid, because you were originally poor and hence less than us. It's revolting.
All right, let's move on to some other news, especially some privacy related news that's super interesting. More and more people are turning their homes into so-called smart homes, where they're buying technology that helps them turn lights on simply by talking instead of having to flip a switch. Well, that could actually have an impact on your privacy. And if you ever get prosecuted for a crime, prosecutors could come after data that's collected by these devices. Case in point, an Arkansas man by the name of James Bates, who is being tried for murder. Now, apparently he found a man floating in his bathtub, called the police, and told them that it must have been some sort of accident. He must have drowned. Prosecutors are accusing him of murder, saying that he strangled the man and then drowned him in the bathtub. Now, we don't know what the reality is, and prosecutors want more evidence. So since they realize that he has the Echo system that of course is owned by Amazon, well, they can contact Amazon and get the data that they need. They specifically wanted recordings from his home. So let me give you more details on that. Now, prosecutors used Bates' smart home against him in court, citing information from a smart water meter to argue that someone was using a garden hose to clear blood off the patio. They also attempted to force Amazon to hand over information gathered from Bates' Echo Smart speaker, arguing that it could have made recordings that would shed light on what happened that night. Now, interestingly enough, Amazon was contacted by these prosecutors two separate times, and they said, no, we will give you his purchase history, but we will not give you these recordings. And they cited the First Amendment as a way of protecting themselves against giving this information to prosecutors. However, the way that this all ended up is the suspect, or at least the defendant, decided to just give the prosecutors access to these recordings so Amazon didn't have to deal with it anymore. But I think it would have been interesting to see how it would play out if Amazon continued to resist and the defendant continued to resist, because there is a privacy situation here.
Giant privacy one. I'm 100% on Amazon's side. Let me give you more details. So if you're wondering, is the Echo always on? Well, yes and no. So there's a story about WikiLeaks and the CIA in today's news, not related to this, that I'll tell you about in a second, that is very relevant to this. But in this case, The Guardian explains, despite Echo's always on microphones, the majority of recordings it makes are not transmitted to Amazon. Only recordings made after the device hears its wake word, such as Alexa, Echo, or computer, are transmitted that way. Now, that's the way it's supposed to work, but the reason prosecutors wanted the recordings anyways, because oftentimes, Echo confuses something you said or didn't say, any sound, for Alexa, Echo, or computer, and turns on and starts to send it to Amazon. Okay? Now, it's always on anyway. The question is it sending it to Amazon? Mm-hmm. Now, the third question that we get from an unrelated story in the news today is WikiLeaks reveals the CIA has been listening in on us through our phones, our cars, and our TVs. And they're using that whether the TV is on or not on. Mm-hmm. It's basically a bug in all of our homes if you own a smart TV and those other devices. And they found a way, in the case of the phones, to capture the text messages or the voice recordings before the companies even encrypt them. So we're all surrounded by this technology that's recording at all times. So in this particular case, do I want to defend this guy? No, look, that's why I'm not a defense lawyer. His excuse sounds preposterous. Like, oh, I just, maybe a guy happened to come into my house, slip, fall into a body of water in my bathtub. Yeah, that happens all the time. Right? I mean, they'll have to go to court and figure out what actually happened. Doesn't seem like a very convincing defense, if you ask me. But I don't, it's not just about him, it's about all of us. Mm-hmm. I don't want them stealing our privacy. That's another kind of crime. And they're doing it on a mass scale. I mean, look at what in this story, the smart water meter. They say it's to help you, but it's measuring how much water you use in every case, and then they use that as wildly speculative evidence.
Yes.
Against you in a court of law.
That's right. And I think that the biggest problem here is that technology continues to advance, yet we don't have the necessary court rulings, precedent, or at least laws in place to protect our privacy as these, you know, different technologies get developed. And so I don't know, do I have much faith in Congress today when it comes to this issue? Not really. And so I would have liked to see how this would have played out if the courts had to get involved and decide the constitutionality of Amazon being forced to hand over this type of data.
Yeah, and I vote no, no. And it's painful in situations that are murder cases, I understand that. But there are many other ways to prove murder cases. We used to be able to prove murder cases without wiretapping the entire country before. So it's a shortcut, but that destroys all of our privacy. I vote no, 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 no. It's unacceptable that they're recording everything that we're doing here. So this is just the beginning. Remember, in the old days, in order to get listen in on somebody and to violate their privacy, that was considered a big deal. And you needed to get a warrant. A court would have, you'd have to go to court and show you have a ton of evidence that this guy likely did it. You already have that evidence so that you can get more evidence through a wiretap, mm-hmm. right? Now they're wiretapping all of us without any warrants, which, by the way, is also unconstitutional.
Also, think about it in these terms. So we have various red states here that allow you to shoot someone simply because they came onto your property, right? Castle doctrine, castle laws, things like that. And so in this case, we're essentially allowing the government to invade our homes willy-nilly.
Yeah, if you don't like big government, and big government just became big brother. So if you're a conservative, a libertarian, liberal, it doesn't matter. Nobody should be in favor of this.
Agreed. Should we take a break? Let's take a break.
Yeah, because also what we do in life echoes in eternity.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back.
All right, back on the Young Turks. Annie says, I love Anna and Cenk's passion, but mostly how you actually speak for the people. Thank you, Annie. Optimist Prime says, on me deciding to do the show tomorrow, Cenk, fair call. I preemptively pardon you, if only to highlight how hard it would be to do the show without the womans.
Good reference.
Yes, agreed on many fronts. Mira says, I wonder how many of these pro-life politicians have forced their mistresses to have abortions. Oh. Well, we have the answer to that on at least one occasion. Desjardins in Tennessee had his mistress have two abortions and his wife one, or his wife two abortions and his mistress one. It's hard to keep track. But yeah, and when they said, you claim to be a pro-life politician due to family values, he said, yeah, but we really need to get abortions.
Yeah, no.
Oh, I see.
So okay. Congressman Hyde, who authored the Hyde Amendment, as I mentioned during that story, he had a 4-year affair. And so when he was spearheading the impeachment process for Bill Clinton, right? And when he was asked, like, aren't you a hypocrite? You had an affair. He was like, well, I mean, it ended when I was 45 years old, youthful indiscretion. You're fucking 45 years old, okay? You're not like 19 and, you know, you cheated on your high school sweetheart. Anyway, it's this inability to empathize with other people, right? They think that they are above everyone else and the rules do not apply to them. They are exceptional individuals and that's that, right? So
look, it goes on. The other guys that were prosecuting him, Newt Gingrich was having an affair at the time. Bob Livingston having an affair at the time. They're unbelievable hypocrites. Strom Thurmond ran on a segregationist ticket. Whites and blacks should not mix. He ran for president on the segregationist ticket. He dies, we find out he's got a black daughter because he's been had a black mistress all the time.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Look, okay. We're humans, okay? And sometimes we cannot deny the temptations of the flesh. And so let's be a little less judgmental and stop trying to get involved in everyone's personal lives.
But Nefarious Contreras says, poor people are not really people to this administration. So, and that's part of the problem that they have with empathy. Okay, guys, let me tell you the members of the day, Adam Fernie and Lucy Pedrana. You guys rock the world. Membership gets you the whole 2-hour show, ad-free, anytime you want, on demand. That's pretty cool. So you don't have to catch it live. You don't have to catch it in bits and pieces. It also gets you members only content. What should we do today? Deep state or my latest drug shenanigans?
Drug shenanigans.
Shenanigans in the post game for the members only. TYTnetwork.com/join. And then we have TYTnetwork.com/go. That's to raise money for journalism. And we're at 1.356 there. Can I see 1.357? Anyway, also... today, TYT Classics, which is a whole nother show on the network where we look at old clips of what we did. And I love that show.
TYT Classics?
I do.
Oh, it's bananas. We have a TYT Classics today and we're taking it real old school. Okay. We're going to show you a funny Bush video.
Oh, great, great, great. And our reaction to it. Finally, tomorrow we'll have old school. And I have it on good authority that the commander of the armies of the East will join the old school for the first time.
Aaron
Weisach.
He's here?
Oh, my bad. Not here tomorrow. Next week.
I got so excited. Oh, my God.
But he is.
Here?
He's going to be here next week.
I love Aaron.
The commander of the armies of the East.
He's so great.
On old school. So become a member today. TYTnetwork.com/join. All right. What's next?
All right. A new study looks into the number of exonerations here in the United States and what percentage of people who get exonerated These are individuals who were wrongfully convicted and then later released due to DNA evidence. What percentage of them are black versus white? Well, I'm sure you know the answer to that, but the statistics are pretty insane. So a new report from the National Registry of Exonerations, a joint project between the University of California, Irvine, University of Michigan Law School, and Michigan State University College of Law, shows that black people are more likely to be wrongfully convicted than white people and are also likely to spend longer in prison before being exonerated for their crimes. Now, this is the statistic that I guess shouldn't have shocked me, but it did because the numbers are startling. While black people represent 13% of the US population, they represent a whopping 47% of the 1900 exonerations in the registry. So they looked at three specific crimes in their analysis, the researchers did. They looked at murder, they looked at rape, and also drug crimes. And so these are people who have been exonerated, convicted, and then exonerated of all three crimes, right? Here are the numbers. Innocent blacks are 7 times more likely to be convicted of murder than innocent white people. This was partly because homicide rates among black people are higher than among white people, and innocent black people are therefore more likely to get suspected and convicted of murder. So this basically has to do with certain biases. If you see that black people are more likely to get convicted for murder, well, then you're more likely to assume that a black person is a suspect, and that person is more likely to get tried, and then the biases in the trial system likely will get that person wrongfully convicted.
And look, sometimes in some of these categories, blacks are convicted at higher rates and are in prison at higher rates because of selective enforcement. So drugs is a perfect example of that. Whites and blacks do drugs at the same rates, but as you're about to, well, first of all, we know that blacks are put in prison at 4 times the rate of whites, even though they do it at the same rate. Now, part of the reason for that is there's more law enforcement in poorer neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Blacks tend to live on average in more poor neighborhoods, so there's cops everywhere. Whereas in your suburbs where people are doing either pot or coke or whatever they're doing, or hillbilly heroin, whatever it might be, there aren't as many cops and they're not constantly trying to fill quotas for arrests, etc. And then there are assumptions and stereotypes.
Yes.
And so selective enforcement makes all the difference. So that is in the people arrested and put in jail. Now wait till you see the ones that are done wrong and how much that is disparate for blacks. And it just told you the murder ones, but let's go over the other two.
So real quick, before we leave the topic of murder, murder cases where a black defendant was wrongfully convicted were 22% more likely to involve police misconduct than those involving white defendants. This is not a comment, this is not opinion, these are facts based on analysis of people who were wrongfully convicted and the forces at play behind that wrongful conviction.
Yeah, it's not like the researchers looked at him and was like, I think the cop did the wrong thing there. No, it was a court case where the guy was let go and the state says, sorry, we were wrong, because usually of DNA evidence, but in some cases, police misconduct. We found that there was police misconduct. We're now letting you out of jail.
Yeah.
So that's why it is an absolute fact. So if you are a white person in America who did not have the police ever abuse you or treat you wrong, you're probably wondering, I don't get it. The cops protect you. Why don't they like the cops? Why don't they trust the cops? Because that is not their experience.
And also,
22% of the cases were because the police decided I'm gonna go get this guy, even though he's innocent.
And for, you know, white individuals who don't understand this and haven't experienced it, that is exactly what, dare I say it, what white privilege is, right? That doesn't mean that you're a bad person. That just means that there are certain obstacles that you haven't had to deal with, certain biases that you didn't have to deal with, right? You've gotten the benefit of the doubt. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. Doesn't mean you didn't earn everything that you have in your life. It just means that you were treated a little fairer by the system.
It doesn't mean you're a millionaire and driving around Bentleys. You could be dirt poor and still not get as mistreated as African Americans, not get convicted wrongly as much as African Americans. It's a privilege that's invisible. You can't even see it because a cop doesn't come and crack you over the skull and throw you in jail. One of the guys that they talk about, 15 years for rape, and he didn't do it. He didn't do it. And so then they're like, oops, sorry, wrong guy. DNA proved you're innocent, and it's the other guy. You're out of jail, but we already destroyed your life. So it's a weird thing to call that privilege that didn't happen to you. But it is. I mean, look at the numbers. So again, murder numbers, very stark.
So let's go to
7 times more likely to be convicted of murder wrongly if you're black.
Yes. So let's now move on to the issue of sexual assault and rape. According to the analysis, black people serving time for sexual assault and are 3.5 times more likely to be innocent than white defendants that have been convicted of sexual assault. The bulk of the racial disparities in sexual assault convictions can be explained by white victims who mistakenly identify black assailants. So this is very important because I think a lot of times people put a lot of weight behind a witness testimony or a witness identifying the suspect. But in a lot of cases, especially if the victim was a white person, they will misidentify the suspect.
No, it's actually, and I've read different studies about this, is if the person is of a different race. Mm-hmm. So black people have almost as much trouble telling white people apart as white people have of telling black people apart, also Asians, etc. So when it's two different races, they just haven't been acclimated enough to different faces of those races because they don't live with them enough, etc. So they will make mistakes at a much higher percentage. And so you think, oh, it's a witness, it must be true. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the case, especially the victim in a sexual assault, how could they not know? But the DNA exonerated them in all these cases. No, in a lot of cases, it is mistaken identity. Look, that is what they could prove, and that's why they wrote that. So now this is my opinion. I think stereotypes also make a big difference here. Because what are the ugly stereotypes they have said about black people for all this time? They're violent. And they will rape your woman. I mean, that goes all the way back to The Birth of a Nation, the first long feature film ever made, where there's a white person dressed up in blackface going around raping white women. I mean, that is a stereotype almost as old as America itself. And so when you have these stereotypes built in the back of our heads, is it that surprising that the blacks get convicted of murder 7 times more wrongly than whites and 3.5 times more in sexual assault cases? Then you've got drugs.
Yes.
And so, drugs are even worse in this case.
So keep in mind that when it comes to certain types of drugs like marijuana, and we've stated this on the show repeatedly, blacks and whites use marijuana at similar rates. But blacks are more likely to get arrested and convicted for possession of marijuana, 4 times more likely. Now, according to this analysis, when it comes to drug crimes, innocent blacks were 12 times more likely to be convicted than innocent whites.
So not only are they targeted more, but they are even more disproportionately the victims of injustice. And so when they bring that issue up, or we bring that issue up, it's not a matter of asking to be a victim. Nobody asks to get put in jail and wrongly convicted of either selling drugs or committing rape or committing murder and losing a big chunk of their lives. It wasn't some sort of grand strategy to have a victim complex. They were actually victimized, and it was actual significant injustice at a different rate than other races in this country. So let's just acknowledge it so that if we're decent human beings, we could actually work towards a solution.
All right, another prison story that is amazing. So let's go to that. The Maine State Prison has decided to end a policy that forced female visitors to take their bras off if they wanted to see an inmate. Yes, that was an actual policy that they had, and they reversed it after they got enough complaints about it. Now, apparently they would do so because they were worried that women were hiding something in their bras. If they would go through the metal detector and it would beep, well then they were thinking, okay, these women are probably hiding something, contraband, who knows what it is. So a number of women were complaining about this, one of which was Stacy Venable. She said, there's a line I don't cross. It's called integrity. I'm not taking my bra off to go into an all-male prison. Another woman says, it's noticeable. You're exposed and you're in a room with sex offenders and pedophiles. It's embarrassing and it's scary. Now, the incredible thing about this is that half a dozen women came forward and they complained about it. And the commissioner of the prison, Joseph Fitzpatrick, realized that, yeah, this is a crazy policy, and he did decide to reverse it. He says, Part of the way you change culture in an organization is you set the tone, lead by example, and you address things. Adding that while the prison can't sacrifice safety, it can ensure it in a way that balances that objective with human decency and respect. I just want to give Fitzpatrick all the credit in the world, because it's not like this was a huge national headline and there was all this negative PR and people were attacking him. Half a dozen women complained about it, and he's like, yeah, this is actually pretty crazy. We're violating these innocent women who just want to visit these inmates.
So two things about this. One is, sometimes there's a dual purpose. One is you've got some veneer of a real reason to do it. Well, it could be metal lining in a bra, or they could sneak stuff into a bra. And then there's the real reason, which is we want to see them without their bras. Maybe they're both real, but you can't discount one of them. Like, for example, when we were doing wiretapping in Iraq, and the NSA and the CIA told us, don't worry, it's just to catch terrorists. And it turns out, no, we were spying on our own troops and listening on their phone sex calls. Yes, it was probably the original reason was to actually catch terrorists. But when you let human beings run a program, they're obsessed with sex and they're going to listen on your phone sex calls. So, and in this case, it is going to be, you know, like they said, embarrassing. And there's going to be guys who are leering, and not just the prisoners, but probably some of the guards too, because they're all human. So now the second part of this is that there are some lines we shouldn't cross, even if it rests a certain outcome that it's not great. So it's not great to have contraband snuck into prisons. That sucks. I get it. I know why you want to fight that. But I've seen the movies. It turns out you can actually sneak it in other orifices of your body.
Yeah. So
what are we going to do before everybody comes in with women? You're going to, you know, inspect in that way. And by the way, for women and men, a lot of times it's in the anus.
Is that how you would inspect, Cenk? You would inspect like this?
I'm just saying, I've seen German porn. Okay. and so for men and women, you know, another direction. Yeah. I mean, you could do that. I've got contraband coming in this prison. By any means necessary, I got to make sure that we do that. No, of course not. So that there are some lines you shouldn't cross.
Right. Look, I think that it's in everyone's best interest to provide an environment that promotes safety, right? And so in this case, they want to make sure everyone's safe, whatever it is. But don't be so willing to give up your privacy and some of your freedoms in the name of safety, right? We've already done that when it comes to air travel, for instance. And by the way, the TSA is now pushing for advanced pat downs as a universal method of screening people.
No.
So that's something that you should keep in mind. And the way that, you know, politicians or public figures try to garner support for that type of stuff is by scaring you and making you think like, we're doing it for your protection. We're doing it to protect you. But no. They're doing it to violate you and take away your privacy. And so don't let your privacy go so easily. In this case, think about how egregious this is. Think about how crazy it is to have a bunch of male guards tell you that you have to take your underwear off before you go in to see a loved one.
Yeah. So look, guys, on the advanced pat downs, they are very invasive. Now, I travel all the time. I don't want a plane blowing up. I'm in the plane, right? So I've got every incentive in the world to make sure that they're doing everything they can for safety. But checking everybody's crotch with the back of your hand is way too far. Way too far. No, I vote no. There's got to be some bounds of reason. I mean, Anna and I both have had at different times advanced pat downs. They're not a pleasant experience.
Yeah.
To inflict everyone with that. And by the way, the other thing it does is it's a giant invitation to pervs.
Of course.
Like the Sanduskis of the world who go and find powerless children and they target them while pretending to help them. When you say, hey, you're going to get to feel everybody's crotch at the airport, who do you think is going to show up and apply? Right? So I definitely know, and I'm glad they got rid of this.
Yes.
We're for dignity. That's why we have graphics like this.
I like stared right at it because there's a screen to my right, and it didn't even like register because her breasts are so nice that I was just staring at her breasts.
We're for human dignity, okay? This is by choice. We're for things that are against choice. Okay, all right.
We gotta go.
We gotta go. All right, what happened the last time I got high? They are literally trips. Mm-hmm. So you're going to want to take that trip with me. What did I say to the ocean and why?